This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
It was the perfect storm of bad legislation, bad court decisions, and a hyperactive trial bar.
Florida lawmakers are hoping to come out of that storm this week with a special session to reform the state's property insurance market. Also, a Florida judge stands firm ruling Governor DeSantis' congressional map dismantling a minority district is unconstitutional.
Because it says so in black and white from the state Supreme Court, which I am obliged to follow. And if a trial judge won't follow the law or do his or her very best to follow the law, then God help us.
Well, DeSantis won his appeal, and next step is likely the state Supreme Court. And when it comes to the nation's cybersecurity, Doug Kelly with the American Edge Project is calling on leaders to act.
Please do things that support innovation and help our country compete against China, and don't do things that hurt our ability to innovate.
We've got all that and more coming up on episode 200 of The Rotunda. Florida lawmakers are back in Tallahassee this week, this time to address what seems to be a Category 5 insurance crisis.
Homeowners insurance are dropping policyholders based on the age of their roof, even if they are in good shape.
It is the latest twist in Florida's ongoing property insurance.
According to the Insurance Information Institute, Florida homeowners are paying double than the national average cost for home
insurance. Along with raising rates, some insurance companies have just dropped customers altogether. Now,
NBC 6 News heard from dozens of viewers across South Florida complaining about home insurance going up, in some cases, by thousands of dollars in just 1 year.
If, God forbid, another Hurricane Andrew or Katrina were to hit South Florida, the devastation would be unthinkable.
Property insurance companies are barely hanging on, and Citizens Property Insurance is the one carrying the weight.
Republican Senator Jeff Brandis, who pushed for this week's special session to address the crisis, says it has been brewing for a long time.
It was the perfect storm of bad legislation, bad court decisions, and a hyperactive trial bar.
What we've learned so far about efforts to reform includes creating a $2 billion reinsurance fund and policies that would prohibit insurers from automatically denying coverage to homeowners with older roofs. Four bills filed last week outlined the details. One of the measures would provide grants worth up to $10,000 each to retrofit homes so they are less vulnerable to hurricane damage. In his proclamation to call lawmakers back to Tallahassee, DeSantis blamed a number of issues resulting in rising insurance rates in the state, including high rates of insurance litigation that drive up premiums and underwriting losses for insurance companies. Here's Republican Representative Jim Boyd.
And there's a handful of bad actors that are making a lot of money off the backs of hardworking Floridians.
So that's the main event in Tallahassee this week, and we'll be following to capture the highlights right here on The Rotunda. The redistricting saga continues. Just to quickly catch you up on the once-a-decade process of redrawing political boundaries, a week ago, Circuit Judge Lane Smith struck down a portion of Governor Ron DeSantis's redistricting map. Yes, he actually made his own, and the Republican-controlled legislature didn't even challenge him. Smith said DeSantis's map diminishes African Americans' ability to elect the representatives of their choice.
If I'm reading the state Supreme Court on this, that can't be done, because it says so in black and white from the state Supreme Court, which I am obliged to follow. And if a trial judge won't follow the law or do his or her very best to follow the law, then God help us.
At the time, Judge Smith's ruling came as no surprise to observers, including those who say they tried to work on a more fairly drawn map. Democratic Representative Kelly Skidmore is a ranking member of the House Congressional Redistricting Subcommittee.
It just was so incredibly apparent throughout the process that this was a violation of the Constitution. And in fact, during my debate on the House floor against these maps, I restated the oath of office that every House member took, promising and vowing to uphold the U.S. and the Florida Constitution. And by voting for those maps, they were violating that oath. And I believe that. And this ruling proves that to me. And I'm very hopeful. I still remain very hopeful going forward that the courts will continue to get it right.
The challenge focuses on a North Florida district now held by Democratic Congressman Al Lawson. The district runs from Jacksonville west more than 200 miles to Gadsden County, and nearly half of its population is Black. A Florida appeals court heard arguments from the governor's administration and reinstated his controversial map last week. Cord Byrd, Florida's new Secretary of State, fought against the minority district as a representative in the Florida House. He did the same in his new role, sending a letter to the appeals court reiterating his arguments.
The Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment limits racial gerrymanders and legislative redistricting plans. It prevents a state in the absence of, quote, sufficient justification from separating its citizens into different voting districts based on race.
The appeals court, which ruled in favor of DeSantis, said based on a preliminary preview, the court has determined there is a high likelihood that the temporary injunction is unlawful because by awarding a preliminary remedy to the appealees on their claim, the order frustrated the status quo rather than preserved it. So the ongoing legal battle continues as groups like Black Voters Matter and other plaintiffs are asking for the case to reach the Florida Supreme Court. Coming up, an interview with Doug Kelly, head of the American Edge Project. We'll hear how that group is working to call more attention to American innovators to promote and secure the nation's overall security. This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes. Visit rotundapodcast.com, follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast, and let us know what you think of this program and who you'd like to hear from next, right here on The Rotunda. The importance of cybersecurity continues to grow as Russia's war in Ukraine escalates. Experts are warning Americans about the threat of Russian cyber attacks. I'm joined by Doug Kelly, who heads up the American Edge Project, a coalition dedicated to the proposition that American innovators are an essential part of the economic health, national security, and individual freedoms of the United States. So welcome to the program, Doug Kelly.
Tramell, thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you. Would you share with us just a brief bit about your background and your current focus?
Sure, Tramell. So I'm the CEO of the American Edge Project, and my journey to technology actually started in my manufacturing community in Michigan. So I grew up in the 80s when American manufacturing was the envy of the world. But Congress passed some short-sighted laws that really undermined our manufacturing muscle and led to 5 million manufacturing jobs disappearing, many of them sent overseas. And so fast forward 20 years, you know, I've been in advocacy my whole life. When I saw that Congress was thinking about doing similar things with American technology, I said, I got to get involved, because technology isn't just another sector of our economy. It's the very backbone of our national security, of our economy, and the values of like free speech and expression that we all hold dear.
It's interesting to hear what really inspired you to jump right in. Can you give us an overview of why cybersecurity and technological innovation is such an important issue in the United States?
Sure. Well, technology is the driver behind everything. Like I said, our national security, the economy, and our values. And cybersecurity is what protects that from outsiders, right? So whether it's Russia, China, or, you know, in-country criminals who are looking to cause destruction, to steal technology, to steal data, cybersecurity is the issue of the decade for the globe, but especially in this country, because we have a lot to protect. And so our biggest tech companies are the biggest leaders in cyber protection. And so it's really, really important that we make sure those companies are as strong as possible, and that we're challenging them to be as innovative as possible so that we're getting the very best cybersecurity protection.
You mentioned that you started to see what was happening to the manufacturing industry repeating itself in the cybersecurity space. Could you give us an example on why you are concerned?
So there's a series of bills in Congress that would undermine innovation in this country. And innovation is at the very heart of technology. It's at the very heart of cyber protection, because it's thinking ahead and what the next step is overall. But a series of these bills in Congress would take some of our biggest innovators in this country and either force them to break up, prevent them from going into certain lines of business, or they'd prohibit them from engaging in mergers and acquisitions, which is one way to actually bring new technologies and new innovation to market faster than possible. And so these bills would really slow America's pace of innovation and would set us behind our biggest adversary in this area, which is China.
The United States appears to be full of tech startup stories, especially here in Florida, where we are seeing a growing tech industry, even locally here in Tallahassee. How can we keep this momentum going and make this all work together with the focus of cybersecurity top of mind?
Yeah, so Florida is a great success story. It's got great ideas, smart entrepreneurs who are getting a lot of capital to help launch new and innovative startups. And really what helps accelerate those startups all along and them to be able to raise money for it is the promise of a return on investment for the investors coming in. But some of the bills in Congress would actually slow down the ability to form capital, the ability for smart startups to raise this money. And what happens is, if you prevent capital from flowing to these startups, they're not going to create the new ideas. They're going to take longer to go to market, and they're going to struggle to raise the capital that they need overall. That hurts everybody. It doesn't just hurt people in Florida, because the ideas that come out of Florida in technology startups, they benefit not only the United States, but everybody in the world. And so we need to make sure Congress is doing things that help innovation and not hurt innovation. And right now, the things that they're talking about doing are going to hurt and slow down innovation, which would be a shame.
How do you turn that around? For people listening, I'm sure some will be surprised to hear there are efforts to slow innovation, when that seems to be the one thing everyone is championing, or at least should be.
Sure. So I'll give you an example. The last 2 years of this pandemic has shown everybody how much of our supply chain is overseas, right? Now, for some things, okay, that won't matter as much. But for critical things like microchips and other essential technologies, we need them here, and we need to be able to control that supply chain and not be dependent on anybody else. 70% of the world's microchips are made in Taiwan, which is just 100 miles away from a relatively hostile China. And so one thing that Congress can do to help innovation is to pass laws that help incentivize additional chip building plants in America. We just have a great big one that's announced, a $20 billion facility just north of me in Columbus, Ohio. But then there's other critical technologies too, from electric vehicles to rare metals, Congress can help pass laws on to incentivize the creation of more onshoring, the creation of those products for America, rather than having to import them from overseas.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with Duck Kelly with the American Edge Project. Let's say you were to get your way. Do we have the talent and skills here to have those plants to produce those chips right here in the U.S.? Do you foresee any challenges on that front?
Well, the great thing is America has a spirit that believes that we can do whatever we set our minds to. And so we want to make sure our schools are investing more in STEM education, that we're harnessing all the talent that we have across the entire country, because we're only as strong as our entire team of people that we get on the field. Because there's great engineers in small town Florida and great programmers who now, because of remote work arrangements, they can work for a Google or an Amazon and really make a big difference there. Additionally, like I said earlier, we're in a really tough race with China overall. China not only steals a lot of technology from us each year, but they're also investing heavily in their capabilities of building technologies along artificial intelligence, quantum computing, 5G, and other technologies that matter for the future. And so we need to do everything we can in both our states and our U.S. capital to incentivize more innovation in this country, because it matters which country builds the future. It matters which country's values are built in the future.
What would be your message to elected leaders to ensure U.S. safety and to protect Florida's growing tech industry?
Yeah, my message is very simple to lawmakers. We are in a neck and neck battle with China, and it matters which country builds the future. And so invest in America, do the things that help accelerate innovation here, and don't do things that would hurt and surrender our technological edge to our foreign adversaries.
What can people do about this issue?
There's two things they can do. First, come to our website, go to theamericanedgeproject.org, and you can look at our different materials that we have. They'll give you more details on the issues that I've talked about. But secondly, pick up the phone and call your U.S. senators and U.S. representatives and tell them, hey, I just heard this podcast about this guy talking about the importance of technology, and please do things that support innovation and help our country compete against China, and don't do things that hurt our ability to innovate.
Well, Doug Kelly, thank you for sharing this information with us, and thank you for joining me here on the program.
Hey, thank you so much.
That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.